Hello, and welcome to ClickThrough. I'm your host and moderator, Hillary Frederick. Here on ClickThrough, we dive deep into the world of user experience, where industry leaders and government experts come together to share their stories, insights, and successes in transforming customer experience within the government. If you're joining us for the first time, it's great to have you here. And to our returning listeners, welcome back. We're thrilled to have you along for another episode. Today, I'm excited to introduce a remarkable guest joining us today, Shalene Mullen, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. Shalene has spent nearly 30 years in or around military health and is here today to share insights around the strategies that are enabling military health agencies the ability to rethink, redefine, and reimagine integrated health services to place customer experience at the center of innovative care models. Shalene, welcome.
Thank you, Hillary. I'm very excited for today.
We're welcome to have you here. So I want to kick off our conversation today to talk about patient-centric modernization. And initially, I want to hear, what does it mean to adopt a patient-centric approach? And how does this stand apart from traditional models?
Well, first off, thank you. That's a great question. The traditional model of care for us has been, you know, all of our patients come into our hospitals, which are clinics, and we call those military treatment facilities, MTFs, for every single service. And this idea that more care is always better care, and it's just not. And, you know, some providers in our health systems are rewarded financially for just doing more. And we need to move away from that. And we're trying to move away from that. A lot of the private sector has already done that. So in some ways, I feel like we're trying to catch up a little bit. You know, with the pace of life today and the technologies available, going to a hospital for clinic for every appointment, it's just not feasible or necessary for a lot of our patients. And we're not, that doesn't mean we're discouraging our patients, but we want them to take more ownership of their care. A patient-centric approach means our patients are now the drivers. They get to decide how and when they want to be seen and not the other way around. It's no longer about the number of times we get them in the waiting room. It's about meeting the patients where they are in their lives at the time they need care.
And you touched just briefly, but can you share a little bit about how exactly technology is used really to enhance or improve that overall customer or patient experience in this case?
Sure. Just like everybody else in America, the military health system changed after the pandemic. A lot of our providers were burnt out and have retired. There's just not enough providers available. There's not enough staff to support those providers. And for us, what does that mean in our business model? That means we need more civilian, dollars to help us buy that care in our facilities, meaning we need people to help our docs. And that also means we need more military medical personnel to do that. All of that takes time, money, and resources that we're competing against in a very large Department of Defense. So we've been pivoting. How do we change that? How can we continue to deliver care? So what we're doing is we are implementing, you know, advanced technology in our hospitals and clinics. We're doing timely, accurate information that gives medical personnel an array of focused knowledge to enable state-of-the-art care and afford patients more choice and access and power. So we've put this under what we call My Military Health, okay, which are a comprehensive blend of sort of self-guided care, on-demand and scheduled virtual care, and interactive messaging to better manage care plans between medical appointments. These are only available right now at selected, you know, military treatment facilities today. We have 5 pilot sites, and we're rolling them out system-wide beginning in 2025.
That's fantastic. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about redefining the care delivery models. Can you talk about additional impact that these virtual care options have had on healthcare delivery for military beneficiaries? And about talk to us about how you see this evolving even more.
Yeah, a great example is during the recent, climatic change events and storms that we have had, just like everybody else in America, that impacted a lot of the Southeast. And some of our military treatment facility clinics had to shut down and people could not come into the clinics. But we were fortunate that some of them were able to pivot on a couple of our newer platforms and to be able to deliver 600 appointments virtually instead of 600 people trying to make it into a clinic that was essentially shut down. So what we're doing is exactly that. So we have a, you know, sort of 3 things we're trying to do at once. One, we're really trying to move very broadly in a telehealth with a new platform. We're trying to do a chat, you know, back and forth with people, just like a lot of us do now in the private sector care, chat with our beneficiaries. And then the third one is rolling out a mental health sort of self-care module. So these three things are sort of moving on simultaneously across. And we, like I said, we've got a pilot sites and we're slowly moving them out there. It, you know, particularly for a lot of our beneficiaries that live in remote areas, it can be very hard to make it to a, you know, a hospital or a clinic that, you know, a military hospital or clinic. This way, they don't always need to come in, you know, particularly if it's something like a repeat issue they've had, like an ear infection. Say someone has a chronic ear infection. Maybe perhaps they don't need to come in. They can get on, chat with their provider, and the provider will say, okay, let's re-up this, you know, antibiotic that you had the last time, see if it works. And then if it doesn't, then you can come on in. That saves time and travel and worry and potential childcare and taking time off from a job for a beneficiary when they just don't need to. Now, for active duty, they're usually located at the MTS. It's a little bit easier for them to go down to the clinic and get that done, but not for the spouse or the beneficiary, for the kids who may be in school and such. This becomes a much better option for the family.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, that really is a true case of that holistic, you know, care approach, right? It's not just for the military side, but the beneficiary side as well. That truly is a prime example of that customer and that user experience. I think that's a great example.
One of the things we're really trying to do in the military health system is bring sort of people back to coming into the MTS where it makes sense, where we have the capability and the capacity. And this is one way of doing it as well. You know, bringing people back in doesn't mean you always have to do it in person. It can be that they can now do it virtually. And that particularly works in our remote areas. That is what we're the most concerned about.
Absolutely. When you were thinking and going through the process and setting up these initial, you know, pilot sites and working through the initial stages of this new program, were there any other obstacles and different strategies and challenges that you were trying to think and overcome them as you were setting up the initial pilot parts of this process?
No, just like everything, we have an aging infrastructure and aging IT system. So that's been a challenge, is to get the sites ready. Okay, so then you get the sites ready, you finally have the IT support that you've got there, but then you've got providers and provider support that now has to relearn and redo their workflow. This is all, you know, that's something that's a challenge too. So learning to adopt new ways of doing business is always hard. It's not that people are reluctant, it's always just finding the time to sort of institute those new challenges. And at the same time we're doing this, we're trying to get more money for civilians to come and help our providers, and then try and get more military medical providers to, you know, in our system. That's been a challenge. I'm certain you've heard at large in lots of articles about the, you know, the recruitment challenges that all the services have had. Well, we have recruitment challenges for, you know, healthcare providers and medics, for everything all across the board, nurse practitioners, all of that. They're in high demand. You know, demand has got up. Providers have gone down. So it's a three-pronged effort to try and do this, you know, get more money for civilians, get more military medical in the MTF, and get deploy our new modernization.
I think that's really important. And it kind of leads me into my next viewpoint here, the leadership and cultural change with rolling out something as massive as this. In your view, why is strong leadership so essential in driving these healthcare modernization efforts forward?
I think people probably do understand, but that, you know, DOD is a top-down driven agency, and nothing happens without leadership leading the way. And I think both our civilian workforce and our military workforce and the political workforce have been very focused on trying to make these changes in the military treatment facilities. So we've been very lucky that all the way from the, you know, secretary and deputy secretary down, they've been supportive of this three-pronged strategy. We've been very excited about doing this. And like everything else, we'd like to move faster, quicker, but it's just always a matter. Things just take time. But I think we're moving along quite well on all three of these efforts.
And then finally, I want to know, when it comes to these massive efforts and the change management and the cultural change and leadership, Are there ways that both the patients and the healthcare teams can be more actively engaged in kind of creating that co-creating value throughout the modernization process? Are there ways that they can kind of actively work together?
Yeah, we, through our whole modernization journey, we've been emphasizing what we term as value-based care, which means placing value over volume. You know, we're not rewarding providers for the number of times they get a patient. They're being rewarded for honoring the patient's choice with regard to how and where they want to receive care. And while we would love to see more patients choose and receive care for our military hospitals and clinic, whether in person or virtually, we recognize that that may not work best for everyone, hence why we have a robust network of civilian providers outside of our MTFs who accept our TRICARE, you know, program. I think what it is we're trying to educate our beneficiaries as much as we're trying to educate our providers. I think people are used to going to downtown sometimes to get their care, and we want to say, hey, give us a shot. We might have what you need at your local MTF or your local clinic. We'll see if that works. But, you know, we're going to be pushing apps to people. We're going to be having them be more, you know, ownership of their healthcare, not just with our MHS Genesis electronic health record, but with apps that's going to tie into that, that people are going to feel more sort of not only ownership and responsibility, but feel like they have more choice.
Thank you so much for sharing your incredible insights and expertise today. It's clear that the work that's being done is reimagining truly integrated military health services that's not only innovative, but truly, truly transformative for the individuals, the families, the caregivers, and the beneficiaries who rely on them. As we've heard today, placing the customer experience really is at the center of care and is the key to building a healthier, more resilient, and a digital-first culture. Thank you again for joining us today on Click Through.
Thank you very much, Hillary. Enjoyed it very much.
Thank you for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to hear more proven strategies for leveraging innovative technology to improve total experiences in federal government, please subscribe to this podcast or visit us at our website, maximus.com/federal. I'm your host, Hillary Frederick. Join us next time for more strategies for optimizing total user experiences from government to you. This podcast was produced by Government Technology Insider and sponsored by Maximus.